What is up, fellow benchwarmers? Welcome to another daily fantasy week. What's up, guys? Welcome to another quickie for today. And interestingly, today, Kumish, there's a lot of trades in our fantasy benchwarmers league, I think. There were 4 trades submitted today. The 4th one just came in about a few minutes ago. And then there were 2 yesterday that were submitted yesterday. Lots of managers in our FBW leagues making their moves. Some looking like some buy low moves. Others looking to shake things up with some managers struggling a bit. Making some changes that would hopefully get their team to a better position when it comes to the standings.
I'm happy to see that because it's the toughest is to be in a league where managers do not want to move or make trades. Where that's the hardest because like right now, my teams are not doing well. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to make trades because in the league that Jeremy and I are in the high school friends league. It's tough to make trades there. A lot of people are busy. They don't, you know, they're not that open. So it's really tough. At least in FBW leagues, there's more trades,
well,
more activities.
To be fair, the FBW leagues, the managers there are more active when it comes to really the fantasy, playing the fantasy basketball game. Our league, in our own personal league, we've been there for, you know, we've been playing it for quite a while, and some managers were probably are not as you know, into it as, you know, before, I guess.
Yeah.
So
that's correct.
And not everyone really wants to make too much moves as well. But yeah, it's exciting. I think some. The leagues are exciting. Trades are exciting. Perspectives, seeing different perspectives are exciting. Some trades are not really controversial, but you can see how certain managers view certain players. And it can go, you know, it can go way on different sides, on different ends, right? One manager can see a player very highly, and then another manager would see a player way too low. And that's where sometimes, not really conflict, but that's where the disagreement comes in. Although in our leagues, we don't let the managers within the league vote. Well, they have a say, like they can voice out their concerns, their opinions. We'll consider that. We'll discuss about it. But at the end of the day, it's still us who's going to decide if it goes through or not. Or we'll ask other the opinions of others who are not within the league. Just to eliminate that in-league bias, wherein, you know, some managers would not want a trade to go through because they feel it would not benefit them or it would hurt their team or this team would be really, would become way better than their own team. And they're not even involved in the trade, right? So that's,
yeah.
That's not healthy as well within the league because that would, you know, create some. That's when veto leagues happen, right? No trades pushes through because all the managers just don't want to make the trade or don't want the trades to push through because it would not benefit them. And, that's unfair to the other managers who are trying to make moves to trade. So that's the reason why we don't let in-league managers vote on a trade. But they can, of course, message us, PM me, and say that if what they feel about the trade. That's fine. And some leagues would have discussions as long as it's respectful discussions. That's also good for the league. And it's been good. I mean, there have been some controversial moves. But overall, I think so far in 5 weeks, the Fantasy Benchwarmers leagues have been really good in terms of the competitiveness and how the managers are playing.
Yeah.
So, that's there. And as of course, aside from that, you know, you get to know some people as well within the league, which is a bonus for joining public leagues like this. Yep, so let's talk about some quickie injury updates first. OG would probably be the most concerning injury casualty for today.
Yeah.
The only update we have is that he could be out for a while and there's no firm timetable on his, you know, return. It's a hip injury, but yeah, he was out tonight, today, probably out the next few games.
Probably it won't just be a few games. I think the injury is a hip pointer. So it's probably going to be out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks, yeah. I read that hip pointers could be 1 to 3 weeks. So, assuming that's the case, let's say worst
three
case,
weeks.
Maybe 2. That's I didn't hear this from a sports doctor. I just read it somewhere.
Doctor Eric Go.
Unlike the one, who's the other one? Evan Mobley? No. Dame. The Dame one, I read it on Twitter, where a sports doctor, really the one who knows these kinds of things, an NBA doctor, said that Dame's injury is like this or like that. So that was more direct knowledge. This one, I just researched it, Googled it, and then hip pointers, they said, could be 1 to 3 weeks. Sometimes you have to use crutches first because it's going to be really painful. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we'll see him this week or next week, at least.
Having said that, who do you think would benefit here? I've seen lots of Boucher being picked up already, although today wasn't really that good of a day for him.
Yeah, today, well, they already had a game.
Yeah.
So we could rely on that game. What they did was put Siakam at the 4, Scottie Barnes at the 3, Cambridge at the 5.
Mm-hmm. So, and Cambridge played 30 something minutes, right?
30s.
Yeah.
And they also do not have Precious Achiuwa. So that's out. So the only bench players they had was basically
Malachi Flynn,
Boucher,
Delano, Svi, Banton,
and Svi. But Delano and Svi, they played few minutes. So basically, you know, Boucher also didn't play a lot. So who benefits the most, that if not rostered? Probably Cambridge. Cambridge.
And of course, you know, Boucher probably would not need minutes, very high minutes. Like, he doesn't need 30 minutes to produce. But as always, he'll probably be very inconsistent. As the minutes could be very inconsistent. Because between Boucher and Cambridge, I would say Boucher has the higher upside, right, when it comes to that. That's the reason why managers, you know, added him back to their lineups.
I added Boucher right away last night when I heard about it. But thinking about it, I kind of regretted it because I said I should have added Cambridge. I mean, no matter who gets injured, unless there's only 5 players in Toronto, I don't think Boucher is going to start. Because it's just...
He's not,
It's just not there. Is that so? Well, I guess Cambridge, you could still add him. A lot of our leagues still have him. But it's not a priority, a big must add. He's just the guy who benefits the most. Boucher is also okay.
I think probably the proper term is that Cambridge would probably benefit the most in terms of minutes. But in terms of usage, I think it would be spread out between Van Fleet, Siakam, Barnes, those 3 guys, right?
Yeah.
The usage, Cambridge would probably contribute some rebounds here, some blocks here. Scoring-wise, most likely it's going to be Barnes, it's going to be Siakam, it's going to be Van Fleet, right? So,
yes,
it's a low-end ad, Cambridge. Not really the... You don't really expect too much from him there.
Yes.
Daniel Gafford, who played the game of the season last game, is out today.
with a
thumb injury.
Thumb injury. But he was supposed to play.
He was a late scratch. Yeah.
Questionable, probable, will play, then did not play. So yeah, it went up and down. And I think the key there was a shoot around. He did not feel well with the finger, the thumb with the shoot around. So let's see, because thumbs, I mean, I don't know if there's an MRI or whatever there. Could be sprain, could be anything. We hope it's not serious. But the fact that he was supposed to play through it means there's no, you know, major injury. Maybe it's just a pain thing.
Yeah.
So maybe one more game, he could miss one more game, but he'll be fine, I think. But let's wait.
Yeah, let's wait. Maybe he shot a little too much the last game.
Yeah.
Because that's very un-Gafford-like, the last game where he shot made too many attempts, took too many shots, although he made a lot of shots as well. Hopefully he won't miss time, but Harrell started
so-so.
It wasn't big numbers. And then Kuzma played well.
Mm-hmm. He heard us.
Just as we were talking about him yesterday, Kuzma had a double-double, I think.
Almost a triple-double, actually.
And seven assists.
Seven assists. But Spencer Dinwiddie was also out today. So they didn't have a point guard, really, the starting point guard. So that's how Kuzma got a lot more of his, passing and assists. But as we said, Harrell, I think, is really downhill from here. Even if Gafford will miss time, I feel like Bradley Beal and the others, like Kuzma and Denny, they're playing better. They're playing better. So Harrell would be, the usage will go a little bit down.
Yeah. Although Denny did play as well today.
I
streamed him, but had to, drop him eventually as well. Those are the injury updates. Oh, we have an injury, but not really an injury update, but Jarrett Allen missed the game again today. So the big three were out today again.
Yes.
And a new player appeared today for Cleveland. It's Ed Davis.
Yeah, he played the last game also, but we were not able to talk about him. But
yeah,
Sadie Osman was also out today.
Yeah.
So they're really down a lot of players, and Isaac Okoro out of, sheer minutes that he got, 40 something, was able to produce. The last game he was also able to produce. If you want to give him a look, go ahead, but I'm not going to add him. I know this guy, so
I think they have a back-to-back, right? They have another game today. Tomorrow.
I think so. Yeah, and I feel like Jarrett Allen won't play that game. I don't think like Laurie will play that game either. So yeah. Dean Wade, who started, who's becoming their white boy 3-point shooter, he could be streamed. And then Ed Davis, as you said, I didn't even know he's still playing in the NBA. So yeah, Ed Davis. But of course, Kevin Love, double
still
double,
still a stream.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Like so far from the time we told you, he's almost average a double-double the two games. Yeah. And even if Jarrett Allen plays tonight or tomorrow morning here in Manila, I think Kevin Love would be the guy who's safe to stream. He's going to get minutes for sure.
So there, those are the injury updates from the different teams. Let's talk about some worry players, I guess. Yesterday, I brought it up, Bam Adebayo. I'm quite worried about Bam. Not just the numbers, because he gives okay numbers. I know we're worried about the assist rate, because it's not there. It hasn't been there. But I'm also worried about the injury, because he's missed a few games already here and there.
Yes.
So I'm more worried about that. I mean, I don't mind him healthy as long as he's playing out there. I'm okay, even with low assists. But the important thing is that he's there. What's the injury? I couldn't remember the injury of Bam.
Some soreness. With Bam, it's actually some soreness. It's not really an injury. He had a different injury before, but then it became a bruise mm-hmm. in the knee. But before the knee bruise, I think it was a back or something that was just sore also, or or painful or something. So it's a different injury. It's a different injury right now. So yeah, he's a little banged up, but I feel like he's right now 45th, 46th, around the 50 range in the rankings. And I think he's a buy low. I really think he's a buy low. And if you can get him at that valuation, as I said, at the 40 to 50, maybe that's a third round, fourth round value kind of deal,
mm-hmm.
I'll take him. Let's say, example, because people keep on asking who. Let's say Robert Williams. Let's say Miles Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Jonas Valanciunas. I know Jonas is playing so well, but I'd rather have Bam. I'd still rather have Bam. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have Bam.
The difference between Jonas and Bam, I know, you know, there's this psychological mindset that, you know, Valanciunas would probably not be able to sustain this. You'll have more peace of mind with Bam playing, right? Because you have Bam Adebayo, mm-hmm. right? So the mindset there would be, I got rid of JV, I got Bam Adebayo, I'm more at peace with him. Even if he miss a few games, one or two games, you probably won't worry unless it's a major injury. But yeah, you'd be more at peace with Bam than Valanciunas. Although Valanciunas has been playing really well.
Yes, I agree.
So far, who knows if it's going down or not? We also don't know, right?
It will go down. That's why I told you, if you can flip him for a Bam at this point, go ahead. I'll do that deal.
Yeah, so Bam Adebayo, one of our worry players today. Pascal Siakam, we briefly talked about him. Well, personally, I was disappointed because in one of my leagues, he was stuck in the IL slot because I was doing okay. And then I wanted to see a few games. He played really well during the games that I did not roster him. And then I rostered him for today and he was bad. So I think he was 2 out of 12. Not much else on the other. Well, he can rebound and pass, but yeah, pretty much that's it. No scoring, low field goal today.
Yes. I think it's... What are we talking about again?
Siakam.
Got lost.
Siakam.
Yeah, Siakam. He was a disappointment because OG wasn't playing. And he had 4.5 rebounds, 3 assists. So,
yeah,
that's... But again, buy low on Siakam. I think some managers are doing that already, doing it beautifully, by the way. But I think you should try to get Siakam. Without OG, he's just about to get better, I think.
Yeah, he should. I mean, there's really not much there in Toronto that can, you know, score, I guess. I mean, that's one, right? It's between him and Fred VanVleet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Scottie Barnes. So at least the scoring should be better. Hopefully the field goal wouldn't be as bad, right? I mean, we don't mind him scoring 15 points, for example, or 13, as long as, you know, he doesn't get 2 out of 12 or whatever the field goal. So Pascal Siakam, worry player, but it's a little bit too early. This is just what, his fourth game? I think this is his fourth or fifth game.
Not the fifth. Probably the fourth. Yeah, he missed one game also in between because of the back-to-back. Yeah.
And so far, before this game, he's been good. I mean, this was probably his first bad game so far. Mm-hmm. I mean, the 3 games, if he had 4 games, the past 3 games were been quite good. I mean, he started really good. The last game was good as well. So, a buy low opportunity there for Pascal Siakam. Bones Highland. Probably many managers would be questioning, should I drop Bones Highland right now?
Yes. He got injured the last game. So we gave that a pass. Today, he might have played injured. That's possible because he wasn't given a lot of minutes and he didn't seem himself out there. But given that, He's a bench player. He's an 18 to 20 minute player. Will Barton is back.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna wait for him to get healthy and spend a roster spot on him on a 12 team league or a 14 team league. Sorry, but I'll go for somebody who will produce unless your team is super super strong. But if not, you're fighting for, you know,
even
your life.
Even then, if your team is strong and he's the worst guy there, you know, you still have to check out your waiver wires or free agent pool. There might be someone who's going to be better or is going to be more consistent, right? I've seen in some leagues, you know, there are leagues in fantasy benchwarmers we're in. The drops have been surprising for me. Like, Vassell has been dropped again.
What? What? Are they listening to us?
I don't know. Disappointing. Here's the thing. The challenge now with that is that Spurs will not have any games again this week.
Yes, yes, that's true. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
maybe
okay,
that's
okay, okay.
one of that the reasons yeah. why they dropped him. Because they won't have any games anymore this week. Although I feel like Vassell is worth holding on still, even if they don't have a game today. But yeah, it's going to be tough to add him now because, you know, or spend your waiver wire because he won't be playing for the rest of the week. But although for me, I still feel that he is a top 100 guy, top 80, I think, before, you know, today's game.
I don't care if they don't have a game anymore this week.
Right?
If he was dropped, I'm going to use my waiver on him. I'm going to pick him up.
So my
I'll take the hit this week. I'll take the hit.
Yeah. So right? My point is, you know, you even if your team is strong and he is your worst guy and probably you could, you know, wait a bit for him to explode. Remember, this guy is a rookie. He will have ups and downs. He's injured. So the odds of him playing well or playing the way you like him to is pretty low right now, especially with the injury.
Yes.
So you have to check your waiver wire to see. Because sometimes managers wouldn't check anymore because, you know, their team is strong. They probably, you know, we're okay. My team is good enough to win. But you have to check because sometimes you're like that, managers would have some itchy fingers to drop some players that shouldn't be dropped, right?
And especially if you have a lot of teams, I guess that's one tip I can give you guys. Do it, you know, one by one.
Yeah.
Like, team one, I don't know what priority you use, but team one, every 4 o'clock or every whatever time you want, use your... For me, I usually do that 4 o'clock. That's the cutoff here. I mean, that's the time that you start a new day here in the Philippines, in Manila. So you start there and then you just scroll down until the 1% mark in the ownership and then see if there's anything there before you go to team two. Because if you don't do that, it's hard to really follow who's going to be available in this league or that league.
It is.
Whatever.
So
and plus
you do not memorize.
I don't think you can memorize your teams if you have 8 teams
that's,
or 10 teams.
That's
impossible.
True. So that here's the story that happened today. So before 4 o'clock today, I was already checking my lineup to see after the games have been played to see who am I going to stream for tomorrow, right? And since our leagues in fantasy benchwarmers are of daily to day settings, I'd still have to wait for 4 p.m. today to see who am I going to stream for tomorrow's games, right? So I had Denny Abdiha in one of my teams. And I was thinking of dropping him already because I think they have a couple of days off, I think, or something like that. And I also needed some assists and some steals. So I saw Davion Mitchell there. So I was thinking I'll probably pick Davion Mitchell up. And when it was around 4 o'clock, I couldn't remember which league that was. So I had to go through each of those leagues. And by the time I got to that league wherein I had Denny Abdiha, because I only had one Denny Abdiha in all my leagues. When I got to that league, he was already picked up. Davion Mitchell was already picked up. So yeah, tough luck. I mean, it was a little last on the priority. I couldn't even remember if it was the priority list, because I have some priority lists as well. The higher money leagues, of course, are there in the priority list.
But it's doable. You just have to do the system. You have to just have a system for
it. Yeah, you just have to do the system. And if you have time, of course, you know, it's better if you do it by 4 o'clock, right? Even if it's a daily tomorrow thing. Daily tomorrow, you'd have a little bit more leeway, right? But if it's a hot free agent, you probably can't wait as well, right?
Yeah.
So that's the challenge there. But yeah, you just have to have a system so that you won't be confused. And you have to consistently do it, especially if your team is weak. And if you're not, because if you have so many teams, right, it's hard to trade as well. To focus trading, right? So you have to work your way in the waiver wires to get your team better. And it's possible, right? It's possible to make your teams better through the waiver wire, because every now and then, there would be some gems there that would be consistent enough to be rosterable. We've seen that a lot this year. I mean, players like, who's a good example for these? Vanderbilt, for example, you know, I feel, I picked him up. He's helping me in the defensive stats category, right? Other players that I picked up, Cole Anthony, for example, like, you know, early in the season, right? These are players that were just picked up from the waiver wire. Caruso, players picked up from the waiver wire, right? So
yeah,
it is possible to have players.
And I suggest that you guys look at your roster first and then look at the free agent, because sometimes you get confused. Am I punting here? What am I here? Am I number one here? Am I number 10? Am I what? What's happening? And the matchups. Like, am I leading here? How much am I leading? How much am I losing? What's the schedule tomorrow?
And right? Your opponent. Right.
And your opponent. So
I mean, if you're looking for, if you feel that, oh, I'm just down by, let's say, a block, right, today.
Yeah.
I'll probably stream someone who can block, right? But your opponent has a roster of Gobert, Capella. Even if you stream a guy who can block, the chances of you winning that might not be as good. So you just have to focus on, where am I leading now? And just build on that, and maybe look for another stat that I can win, right?
Yes, that's true.
So
that's true.
You have to analyze that when you stream as well, and not just get the best player, because the best player as well is a streamer there, right? Unless it's a Devin Vassell, or maybe
unless it's a player that's not should be there in the free agency, and it's there. Yeah, so you should pick them up. So regardless what your build is, just get that player. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, that's not no unless it's a no-brainer, right? It's a no-brainer. All right, so Bone Silent could be a drop now,
even if you
look for a better free agent. And who could you be looking for? I mentioned Jared Vanderbilt. I picked him up a few weeks ago in one league and haven't really dropped him, because he's giving me what I need, the defensive stats, the rebounding. I don't really need him to score. So that's good. He won't score anyway. Score. So, I mean, if I need the scoring, I would have dropped him already by this time, right? So I wouldn't have held him. But
the good news is, Josh Okogie is injured. So that's one less player that they have to compete with. We're talking about Vanderbilt and Jaden McDaniels, because both of them have been getting a lot more minutes now. I like what's happening in Minnesota. I think there's now a definition of the rotation is better now. In the start, they started Beasley, they started Okogie, they started Vanderbilt, they started this, they started that. At least now we know that it's Pat Bev, D'Lo, Ant Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, and then a power forward. So it's either McDaniels or Vanderbilt. But the good news is between the two of them, they're sharing the minutes. And they're getting some minutes at the 3, some minutes at the 5. So they're getting a lot of minutes. So both of them actually are good ads, in my opinion.
Yeah. So Vanderbilt and McDaniels, you could add them and just see what happens from there.
Yeah.
Yes. Georges Niang, another ad. A lot of Niang was dropped when Danny Green came back. So yeah, he should be there.
He started today though. So that's why I recommended that maybe for the meantime, I know Taibo is coming back. Maybe the next game is back already. So that would affect Niang. But as long as Danny Green is out and Beat is out, I think Niang and Shake Milton, they have some short-term streaming value.
Yeah.
Have some short-term streaming value.
PJ Tucker, a player
we have not talked about.
Guy who will never be talked about really in fantasy, despite him being a really good defensive player, right? But
and
but you know, he's had some good games. I mean, I streamed him a couple of times, I think, and got what 10 rebounds out of him, and that's solid for a stream. And he's a starter, so he gets the minutes.
And Markieff Morris is still out from the Jokic hit, 6 games and counting. In that 6 games, PJ Tucker is almost averaging a double double, and giving you a 3-pointer and a steal, and then shooting very well. Nobody is noticing it because everybody's like,
because it's PJ Tucker.
Yeah, I mean PJ Tucker. I mean Butler, but Tucker has been quietly good. So I think for the short term, until he cools off, he could be added. Could be added.
And like I said, it's PJ Tucker. No one really thinks PJ Tucker would be fantasy relevant, even if he has the minutes.
He usually isn't. Usually isn't. This year or something. Maybe
even with the minutes. Even with the minutes.
Yes.
He's not a fantasy relevant player. But so far he has been. And maybe just ride him out and see. I feel that eventually and
he'll cool off.
Yeah, he'll cool off. And Miami has been, you know, having some injury problems here and there, right? I mean, I think Hero sat out as well today. Tyler Hero was out today.
Yeah, it's the wrist thing. But I think it's a rest because tomorrow they have another game. Oh, no. Today was the second game to back-to-back, I think. Yeah. Today was the second game, yes.
Yesterday, they rested Lowry and Bam.
Adebayo, yeah.
Yeah, and then today, Hero was out. So I think that helps the usage for PJ Tucker as well. Gives him more usage because key players have been out. So I think you can ride him out until he pulls off.
Speaking of rest, Steph Curry might not play tomorrow. There's a big chance he doesn't play. His hip, the injury that we talked about, the hip injury, is actually a real injury. He fell down, apparently. James Harden fell on him.
Yeah.
So he hit his hip, and in the interview post game, he said it really hurts, and he played today because I guess it was Cleveland, but tomorrow is Detroit, so there's a chance he won't be playing tomorrow. Gary Payton, maybe Damian Lee, probably would get some more minutes if that happens.
Jordan Poole is always right.
But
yeah, well, the good thing is somehow. Steph, you know, gave you 40 tonight.
Somehow.
The 3-point numbers were good enough for two players, right? He had 9 today. So that's, you know, okay. But, you know, with Steph, you always want more. I have Steph in a lot of leagues, and I just feel like it's never enough. It's never enough. Like I said, I had a trouble building around a team with Steph as my first guy, and I feel it's haunting me right now because even if with Steph, I'm barely making it in threes. Barely. That means I didn't surround him well enough with support, or I ignored it just because it's Steph. Right?
Yeah.
Actually,
I might lose this week in 3-pointers. Even with, I have Steph. I might lose in 3-pointers.
Yeah.
So it's not a given.
It's not a given. Still, you need to support him. But yeah, One player less. If you build around him, you probably need just one more or two more players who can shoot threes. Yeah, but maybe just stream other 3-point players. So it's never enough with Steph, right? Like the 9 3-pointers, we might lose threes. That 9 seems to be not enough. Rudy Gay returned, played well.
Yes. played well. 5 3-pointers, 20 points, less than 20 minutes, so a point per minute. Everybody's gonna add Rudy Gay. Don't be too much in a hurry. He'll not be this good. This is Utah, guys. This is Utah.
And although, you know, the Rudy Gay at best could be a streamer. At best. You know, in past years, with San Antonio, he was, you know, somehow sometimes being streamed and holding him for a bit. So maybe that happens with Utah. But yeah, not too high. Maybe for very deep leagues, you can add him. Brandon Clark. There have been some questions about Brandon Clark, whether to hold on to him, to drop him or what, or to stream other players instead. Your take on Brandon Clark?
Maybe 16-team league. I'll add him. He's performing, but look at minutes he's getting. He's not even getting to 20 minutes. Far from it. He had 14 minutes yesterday. He had 15 today. But he's playing well. Mm-hmm. But at that kind of duration, the fluctuations would be too much. He has to be really playing super well to be doing what he did today, which I do not trust that he's going to do. But in 16-team leagues, okay. Because what if, let's say, they decide to put Steven Adams' minutes lower and lower and then give it to him, which is possible because they're trying to play smaller. Yeah. So, you know, of the chance that that will happen, at least, you know, speculatively add him.
Yeah.
The problem with Brandon Clark is, last point, Kyle Anderson. Kyle Anderson is their small ball four.
I was just about to say, the problem with Brandon Clark's situation is that Memphis has depth. They have depth. Kyle Anderson off the bench. They still have Xavier Tillman, who's another big guy, right? Who can, you know, produce as well, right? If they want to be bigger. They have Melton, right? They still have Melton there. I mean, they are, they could be a 9 to 10 man deep in the rotation, right? And that means, you know, if you play 9, 10 guys, you know, the minutes won't be as much for you. Mm-hmm. And that's the challenge for Brandon Clark. But for deeper leagues, I guess, 16 speculatively, 18 maybe, right?
In Memphis, basically, I only trust Morant, Jaren Jackson, and probably Dylan Brooks. Desmond Bane, for me, he had a good game today, but it's in the borderline. I just traded Melton. I don't know if Jeremy saw it.
Yeah, just saw
just it. Just traded Melton for Jason Tate. So that shows how I don't believe in Melton as much anymore. So
I'm trying to trade my Melton as well for Jason Tate. Ironically, I'm still waiting for the other manager to respond.
So there, I think Memphis, they're just too deep. And Dylan Brooks, 30-something% usage. I mean, unheard of. I mean, what is he? Is he LeBron? I mean, he's taking so many shots. And when you watch, I watched some of the game. He's just taking everything. I mean, he's so aggressive, which is good for his fantasy value.
Yeah.
So if you own Brooks, that's okay.
Yeah, and so far he's been, you know, decent in the field goal category. I mean,
not so far.
So far, yeah.
Yeah. So far.
I guess that's what the reason why he's taking so many shots. He's been, you know, feeling it a bit.
Always feels it.
But this is the I know we're really high on Melton early in the season, but I think now this is the norm. Normal Memphis. I mean, last year it was this. They had this type of rotation as well. Brooks starts. Agree. Desmond Bane starts. The only difference is that Kyle Anderson started because Jaren Jackson was out.
Yes. Correct. Correct.
And of course, they had Jonas instead of Steven Adams. So the scoring, there's more scoring now for the others because Steven Adams doesn't need to score really. So
yes,
maybe that's another reason why Dylan Brooks is, you know, getting more shots in or taking more shots, right? So the Memphis team is deep, and Brandon Clarke could be, you know, from the outside looking in at this point, unless it's a very deep league that you have. One rookie, another rookie, probably you never heard of, Charles Bassey. Very deep league, and I guess very speculative.
30 team, maybe. It's just that I want to talk about Drummond. Drummond is playing terribly. Drummond is playing super terrible. Today, another bad game. So what if Embiid comes back and they decide to play Bassey as a backup center? I don't think Bassey is a starting center, but as a backup,
yeah,
maybe. We don't know. So let's see. That's possible.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, you imagine the cycle a player goes through in fantasy, right? A few weeks ago, last week, right? Andre Drummond was the big thing. And now, well, he's been struggling. And you know, this separates, I guess, the great players from the, you know, just the good ones, because teams will adjust. Like we've always been saying, teams will adjust. Early on, maybe
that's true.
We're not sure about Drummond's, how they're going to use Drummond. Now they already know, and other teams have prepared for him as well. So, and prepared to make sure that he doesn't get that many rebounds. Right?
So it doesn't look good for the value of Andre Drummond. Conversely, we're talking about Charles Bassey, freaking Charles Bassey, whoever this, that guy
is. We're not saying you pick Charles Bassey up right now, right?
No.
But there, you need to watch out for in case, you know, Drummond's value goes down the drain.
Yes.
Although, of course, you don't drop your Drummond just yet. I mean, players like those, you'll have a longer leash for them when it comes to waiting for them or seeing what happens, because they're pretty much proven players who can produce already. So yeah, just hold on to your Andre Drummond. Just keep an eye on Bassey. Well, feel good. Let's just talk about Gary Trent. Gary Trent played another great game today. 31 points. What's Gary Trent now? Top 40?
Top 30. Gary Trent is top 30. And remember, we talked about him the other day. You said he's going to keep his steals straight. I said he's going to go down.
Yeah.
Maybe I would happily admit it looks like I'm wrong, because he's 2.5 right now, 2.5 steals. That's insanely good. So even if it goes down, I don't think, you know, it's been what, 13, 14, 15 games?
Yeah.
It's not one or two games. So there is something there. So maybe it goes to 2 steals, he drops down to 40 to 50. But he's not Gary Trent of old. He's not the outside 100 Gary Trent anymore. Just look at the role that he has in Toronto. He's their main scoring wing, right?
I mean,
I'm more confident
of
now.
Of course, 31 points is a lot. We don't expect Gary Trent to score that much or even close to that number every game, right?
Well, what's something that's realistic for you?
16,
I'm curious
70,
about this.
16, 70.
Okay. I was actually thinking 20. I mean,
I feel
possible,
20 is
right?
A little too high. Maybe now without OG, yes, that's possible. But with with OG for the rest of the season, I think 16,
correct,
15
correct.
Would be good enough. You'll take that. I mean, 15, 16 points from Gary Trent Jr., that's going to be...
Let's meet halfway. I think probably 18. Probably 17 to 18.
That's too
he's
much.
He's doing that right now. He's 17 and 18 right now. OG still was... Well, I guess Siakam came back and OG went out. But he's the main scoring guy there. You can see he's been aggressive. So I guess 17 or 18...
If you think about it, he's the only guy who can shoot from the outside other than Van Fleet.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
You know, if you know OG plays inside, Siakam post up, right? Siakam's assist rate seems to be a lot better this year than previous years. If they post him up and just allow himself to attract some doubles or kick out to Trent, he's the only guy who can shoot it there consistently. So that's possible. But still, I still go with the 15-16. I think that's good enough. If he gets 18-17, no one will complain for sure.
No, good for him.
Well, if you don't own him, you'll be the ones complaining. But yeah, if you own him, I'm pretty sure you're gonna be happy with that as well. So yeah, that's just one of our feel good players. We won't talk about the other feel good players, but because you can just read about them in our Facebook page. Yeah, and that would wraps up today's quickie. We'll see you again tomorrow. We're sorry we don't have a live Q&A today. Just don't have the time for to do another 1.5 hour this week. But we'll get back to the live Q&A next week. Yeah, and we'll just post it before next Friday, right? So that's it for a quickie, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.